live. Yeah, yeah, we going live. Hey, hey, we going live. Yeah, yeah, we going live. Yeah, yeah, we going. Yeah, 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 we going. Yeah, 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 we going live. From the 50-yard line, we going live. From the 50-yard line, we going live.
Hello, beautiful people.
Hello, hello, hello.
I am Jared the Football Genius Burgess.
And I am Stephanie Fitzpatrick, aka the Advantage Coach.
And this is episode 183 of the Field to the Real podcast.
Creeping along.
It's coming up fast. We said last week that we would probably have a conversation about when those dates would be that we would, you know, take off so we can get an idea of exactly
yeah.
episode
200
would be.
Yes.
So
because we need to get invites out. Like, it's a whole party. It's an event. This ain't just we gonna get on here and do a show. No, this is an event.
Right. Yeah. So yeah. We trying to get it all planned out.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that'll probably happen like late March, early April, you know, based
on that's what like we hoping anyway. Yeah. Huh? That's what we hoping anyway.
Huh?
That's what we're hoping for.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's get this in. So right. We'll get that. So let's give ourselves an accountability deadline.
Mm-hmm.
And we're saying this publicly, so we gotta do
it. Right.
So we're going to have the details of when the 200th episode will be by right before we go to Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Before Thanksgiving, we'll have, so that's 2 weeks pretty much.
Yeah.
That we have to get.
To iron out
the actual date that we will do the 200th show. Mm-hmm. And then we can just work our way. Then we'll hold ourselves accountable to the next thing.
Yeah.
Publicly.
Right.
Yep. I'm here for it. All right. Y'all heard it here first. Before Thanksgiving, you will know what date that 200th episode event will take place.
All right. We said it. Hold us accountable.
Let's do it. Ask us. If you don't hear it, we didn't say anything. Ask. So, yeah. All right. Let's go.
All right. Hey, let's jump right into this. Who's really right? I feel like we've had this who's really right, or at least we've made this a topic every year since we've started this podcast. And that's because what we're seeing is like Alabama not being as dominant as we've seen them be in the past, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this week our who's really right is the Alabama football dynasty over? And Steph, you know for this one, I'm going to let you go first. You already know it. So, without further ado.
Okay.
What side of this are you on, Steph?
Well, no, this is, and I am taking my, because I do have a bias, because uh-huh. I am a Georgia fan.
Yes.
Is what it is. But I'm taking my bias out of this situation.
Mm-hmm.
To just literally look at the facts.
Yeah.
And the facts that are in front of us are you're still recruiting some of the top people in the country to your program, but you are not producing at that top tier level. I've seen the decline over the last couple of years. It's about 2019 when they lost two games. The last time they lost two games, which mm-hmm. was 2019, is when I started to be like, And then when you add that there's so much more parity in the portal, it makes things a little more difficult to stay on top.
Yeah.
For any team, honestly, but definitely for the number of years that Alabama has been the dog, the top dog, no pun intended, mm-hmm. in the college football realm, it's tough to stay there when other people are making things look real good. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Other programs are all, and then these kids are starting to look for something more than just that thing, right? Like, right. What? So unless they're keeping up with the trend, so to speak, mm-hmm. of what's happening, you can't just rest your laurels on We Alabama.
Right. Yeah.
I can go to Michigan. You know what I'm saying? What?
Right.
What is that? What is that?
I go to Tennessee.
Yeah. I go to Kentucky.
Right.
Like, it's just, it's the parity that's happening in college football is making it hard for them to just be able to rest on that. And even though you're still getting top recruits, you might not be getting what you need. You know what I mean? Right. Like, for instance, running backs.
Mm-hmm.
They ain't had a good one. I mean, no knock on who they got. But they ain't had a good one in like 2 years.
Nah, this kid they got now, he's serious. Now, maybe he didn't play well last night, and I didn't see that. But him, the kid that's with the Steelers right now.
That's the Najee Harris.
Najee Harris, yeah. When did he come up?
The last one that I would really be like, okay.
When did he come out?
Who, Najee?
Najee Harris, yeah.
3 years ago?
Oh, it's been that long. Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. I see. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Maybe 3 years. Because I think this is his third year in the league. If it's not, it's his second. But I think it's his third. But either way, I'm just saying, like, they just have not had what it looks like. I mean, you talking about Najee Harris, Derrick Henry, like, Mark Ingram.
Yeah.
They haven't had any of that since those guys left.
Yeah.
And so, that's just one position. I'm just saying, like,
right.
Even defense looks a little suspect. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just saying. So my answer to the question is, I do believe we are seeing I don't want to say it's over, but I want to say we're seeing the decline.
Okay.
Of not only Alabama, but some other teams. I know that's not what we're talking about, but I literally just said this, like, is Mercury in retrograde? Because in the NFL, all the teams that was dominating, all of them suck. I'm like, what's happening? Like, what is going on?
Yeah, it feels like everything's kind of flipped.
Clemson got drugged yesterday. I'm like, what is that?
By Notre Dame.
Notre Dame.
Shout out to Notre Dame and the head coach.
Yeah, you know I love it. I'm here for it, right? So, but I was so. But to that point, just saying, yeah, it's hard. It's like the song says, it's hard out here for a pimp. It's hard to stay on top.
Oh man,
it's hard to stay on top, and yeah. So, and I know this is one of the reasons why Nick Saban was so, like,
that's exactly
vocal about the transfer portal and NIL and all of that kind of stuff. And so that in itself could be keeping you from getting people because they know how you feel.
Right. And you've essentially, or NIL has essentially leveled the playing field.
Exactly.
So I think we will start to see more parity. But I think that there are just traditional football powers. Like Georgia, like Alabama, like I don't want to say Clemson because I don't feel like Clemson is traditionally a football power.
Ohio State.
I think they're going to always be around in the conversation. Mm-hmm. And so I think the part of this question that I guess we would have to constitute is, like, what is a dynasty look like in college football, right? Because we talk about, you know, we talk about the Patriots being a dynasty in the NFL because they won so many, you know, Super Bowls out of, you know, that time frame that Tom Brady was.
Yeah.
They didn't win it every year.
Nope.
And if I think about Alabama football in that way, then I would say that no, the dynasty isn't over. I think that they do have to have a moment of retooling. Where they lose great players every year and they have to retool. And so sometimes there is going to be a bit of a drop off. But I think that as long as Nick Saban is in Alabama, they're going to always be dynastic.
I'm here for that word right now. I got to figure out how I'm going to use that word. Dynastic. Mm-hmm. Big word, Jared.
Oh, Lord.
On it, I tell y'all.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, no, I'm here for it, though. But, I don't know. So you didn't see the game last night. So I was cracking up laughing to somebody's chagrin.
Yeah.
About the facial expressions that Nick Saban was making.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like he's perplexed about what to do. Like, what is going on and how do I fix? It's literally, and I've never, ever seen Nick Saban anything other than on 10 fussing at somebody or calm as a cucumber.
Right.
So I don't really know what that face was last night. It was a perplexed look. Kind of the same one that the mad scientist had when did he have Cam Newton? That year he had Cam Newton.
Yeah.
That perplexed look that stayed on his face, like, what is happening? It's that same look that I'm seeing on Nick Saban's face. And we see what's happened to the Patriots.
Yeah. I mean, they're around, but it's like, they're not the dynasty.
They're hanging around in that little middle section now. But I mean, you were dominating. Like, nobody had a chance for a number of years. The same way Alabama dominates. And it's very few times that somebody, it might happen every once in a while, right?
Right.
But when's the last time you know Alabama not going to make it to the playoffs?
Well, I think it's been some years where they shouldn't have made it and they made it, you know.
Yeah.
And it's honestly, in some of those years where I don't think they should have made it, they ended up winning the championship. You know, because they got two losses. But they got two losses now, and
I don't think they're going to get them. Because they're not even going to get to play for the SEC championship.
Well, I want to say the last time they won it, they didn't play for the SEC championship.
They got to be in the playoffs, though, don't they?
No. You remember the year that Georgia beat them in the SEC championship, and they end up falling to number 4?
Okay.
And they ended up beating Georgia again in the national championship.
Right, right.
They didn't.
But they were number 4.
Right, but they lost in the championship. Oh no, they lost in the championship.
They didn't make it. They don't make it to the championship. How do you get to the?
No, it was a year that they didn't make it though.
If you don't make it to the SEC championship.
I don't think that you should be able, and that was my beef with that year. And I'm thinking about a different year because I think that was kind of that flip-flop thing. The same thing happened last year where Georgia lost to Alabama in the SEC championship and then beat them in the national championship.
National championship, But the way they those years,
they didn't make it to the playoffs.
Alabama not even going to get no shot. They're number 3 in the West right now.
Who are they behind?
LSU is number 1.
Right.
Mississippi State.
Oh, yeah. That ain't going to get it for them.
So they're like number 3 in the West right now. So, and then I don't even know what they've dropped down to in the CFP, because if you're not in the top 6, you can hang it up.
Right. All right.
And so they were at number 6 when they lost.
So this is the thing that'll be able to help them. Right?
Yeah.
So you're right. They're 3rd in the SEC West right now.
Mm-hmm.
If they beat Ole Miss, because I believe Ole Miss is number 2 behind LSU.
They already played Ole Miss. No.
No, they play Ole Miss on the 12th.
Yep, that's who they play. That's right.
So if they beat Ole Miss, they're not going to get it by beating Austin Peay.
Or Auburn. Nope.
But if they beat Ole Miss,
mm-hmm.
and we just see a bunch of confusion at the top, because we know that Tennessee already lost to
To Georgia.
To Georgia. So they're going to take one step back.
Auburn, I think they'll end up, they're going to be probably at like number six.
Probably so. Because Ohio State and Michigan are on a collision course.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're in the same division, so they can't play each other in the
playoffs. Right.
Yeah. I think, I don't know, there's a scenario where I think that it can open up, where these teams beat each other up so much that this win against Ole Miss would slide them up close enough to kind of be in the mix.
Well, I don't know, because TCU still in the mix.
Yeah.
Michigan still in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
Oregon still in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got two losses. We talking TCU is still undefeated.
Right.
Now, I don't know how you. I don't know.
So I've seen the committee.
Oh, they'll make what they want to happen.
They'll justify a two loss Alabama team over a one loss TCU.
Mm-mm. Or Oregon's got one loss. TCU is undefeated.
Yes.
Oregon has one loss.
Mm-hmm.
To Georgia.
Right.
So,
and that's the thing. Oregon and somebody else, their only loss, Oregon and Tennessee, their only loss is to Georgia, who will eventually be the number one team in the country after the CFP rankings come out.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah. Y'all let us know who's really right. We didn't veer all the way
off. I'm sorry. We've been veering. Listen.
When we get to talking football.
We're heads, y'all. We can have this conversation. Yeah, we sorry.
Right. Y'all let us know who's really right. Do you think the Alabama dynasty is over? Yeah. Stephanie says, maybe not over, but it's on a decline. I think that this is just kind of a retooling year, and they're going to always be somewhere around the top. Dynastic.
Dynastic. That's the word.
That's the word of the day.
Right now. Because I don't want to forget. I have to figure out where I can use it.
All right. Y'all let us know who's really right. Real good topics.
Yeah.
All right. So first it was Kanye. Now it's Kyrie Irving, who is feeling the pinch of some of his, I don't even know what to call it, because I want to be very careful about how I choose my words, but he's feeling the pinch of some of, I guess I would say, his support.
Yeah.
And some of his choices as it pertains to social media and some of the things that he has kind of put out and broadcast. And then to add insult to injury, he had an interview, or he's, you know, had a media session where he kind of doubled down and was like very evasive with the questioning of what he supports. And so that led to him being suspended 5 games without pay.
At least
5 games without
pay. They put that word in, those two words in front of it to let me know. At least. Oh, okay.
Because he has a few things that he has to do in order to rejoin the team.
And he lost he's suspended from his endorsement.
From his Nike endorsement.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about this?
We talked about this last week. Mm-hmm. We talked about what happened last week, his opinion, where he was last week. And I said then that I do not believe that he seems to be very pro-Black to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that that means he's anti anything else. Mm-hmm. But you have to be careful about what you put out there. You got to be mindful of how what you put out can be perceived, because once it's out there, it's out there for people to perceive it in however way they want to perceive it. Mm-hmm. And I believe that's why he doubled down and was unapologetic, because he's looking at it from the standpoint of being pro-Black. Right? Not anti anything, but pro-Black. Right. And so I stick with what I said, that I think it's the responsibility of being socially responsible when you are somebody with the influence that he has.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have a feeling that the Nets gave him opportunity ample prior to making this decision mm-hmm. to do the things that they are now requiring him to do without Pat.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that you could not even, sounds a lot like Kanye, find the ability to be accountable
mm-hmm.
to what it could have, how it could have been perceived by somebody else. Not stop talking about how you feel and why you did what, but just, okay, I can see how this could be perceived by somebody else as blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
And let me apologize for that. At least take the accountability for the fact that you're an influencer in this world and that people are looking at you. And when you put something out there, some people are just going to go with it because it's you. And so that's the only thing. So I think this was the only choice that the Nets had.
Mm-hmm.
Other than to just get rid of him.
Well, I think this is kind of the play of that, right?
Yeah.
I think they are at the point of,
it's too much to do.
We can void his contract if there's too much conduct detrimental to the team, and that's what they use to suspend him.
Mm-hmm.
Because I believe it's detrimental to the team in the sense that if there are people who perceive the things that he say as the things that he says or the things that he supports as hate, then they'll potentially stop supporting the Nets, and that affects the Nets' bottom line.
Absolutely, bottom line. Absolutely.
I'm going to tell you the problem that I have with this.
Mm-hmm.
The problem that I have with this is not so much about him per se. It's about everybody around him in their commentary.
Oh, yeah. Everybody has something to say. Yeah.
Yes. And this is going to be aimed at Shaq and Charles. And particularly my issue with Shaq and the things that he said about Kyrie is that Shaq, and this has just been uncovered within the last day or so, you condemn Kyrie for not being knowledgeable about what he supports, when the reality is you own a movie theater that actually showed this documentary, and you were paid by people who went and viewed this documentary. And so for you to be so critical and not be aware of something like that kind of speaks a little bit to what you value. Now, I've never seen this documentary, what it's about. I've only heard secondhand information. So this isn't about specifically what's in the documentary, because I don't know. And I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to speak unintelligible.
I have no clue.
Whatever that word is. About that. Yes. Right, unintelligible. Yeah.
Unintelligible. Yeah, I got you. I got a big word for you. No.
Right. Yeah. And so I don't want to do that, but I find it interesting that so many people are coming down on Kyrie and calling him, like, it burns me up to hear Charles Barkley call somebody an idiot. Burns me up. Burns me up. Like, I'm not going to go down. I won't get into that. But my thing is, I understand that Kyrie has been in the media a bit of a problem child.
Yes.
But given what you said, right, that Kyrie is, in my belief, unapologetically Black, and he's not attempting to spew hate against anyone. He's just trying to connect with his Blackness.
Yes.
I do, for him, I do understand that if you offended somebody by something you've said or something you've supported, then you come out and you get educated on it, right? And it becomes a dialogue, but you must say, you must apologize and say,
that's all.
Listen, if something that I've done has made you feel like I hate you, that is not my intent. So I apologize for that, because that wasn't my intent. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that apology, but still feeling the way you feel.
Absolutely. Right?
Now, if you've done your homework and you don't see this as anti-Semitic, the least that you can do is say, listen, have a conversation with somebody who opposes your view to get an understanding of why they see that as anti-Semitic.
Right.
Now, we spoke about this last week, and I told you that there are a lot of things that I feel are categorized as anti-Semitic.
Yeah.
That I don't believe necessarily are. Right?
Right.
Now, right. With that being said, I can't tell anyone how to feel.
Exactly. That's all I'm saying.
I feel like when it comes to the phobias, things that aren't phobic still get classified as phobic.
Sure.
And I think that that plays into our today's victim mentality, you know what I'm saying, in our society, where we all have to feel like there's an empowerment in being a victim.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's unfortunate, especially, you know, when you think about, I think it's unfortunate when you think about some of, you know, some of the ways that we could probably affect a Kyrie Irving. And I'm talking about, like, in totality, us, not us, you know, specifically, but like a Charles Barkley and a
Shaq. Tearing him down in front of people.
Or going on your platforms and just tearing him down.
Your GOAT did too.
And I was unhappy with him for that too, you know. Yeah. And it's a whole bunch of that I be wanting to.
I know. But,
you know, I don't want my words to be perceived as hate or anything like that.
No.
I just feel like there's a level of sensitivity that we as Black people don't get to have, you know, given our history.
Sensitivity, rights, because
rights.
I mean, I am not on. I don't have a side in this, right? Because I don't know anything about this movie or this book. Know nothing about either one of them, so I don't have a side. I do love all people that I do know,
right?
But I do understand what you're saying. Is as it does feel like everybody else has the ability to utilize freedom of speech too.
Yeah.
Freedom of opinion.
Right.
But we're under the microscope.
Right.
I agree with that. But I also think that as somebody who, again, I go back to the social responsibility, as someone who you are clearly aware that you have it. I'll use another example. I'll use Cheeto. You know that you have all of these people who almost, in my opinion, blindly listen to what you say, whether it be true or not, you do. And we have said he's not socially responsible.
Right.
It, to me, is the same thing. Like, understand your influence. Understand the platform that you have.
Right.
You can't be irresponsible. You should, even if you agree with this, you should have put a disclaimer out or something. Even if this is something you wanted to promote, put a disclaimer out about why you want to promote it. Like, I am not promoting this out of hate for any group of people. I'm doing this because blah, 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 blah.
Right.
That's socially responsible, and your opinion still gets to be put out.
Right, yeah.
So that's the only part of this that I have a problem with. You need to be more socially responsible than to just say, yep, I like this. And then, because what happened? I mean, think about it. What happened when it was said that that COVID came directly from Asia? What happened?
Yeah, people started discriminating against Asians. Yeah.
I mean, not just discriminating, like being violent, like taking it too far. Mm-hmm. And when you have that level of influence, which Kyrie does, you got to be careful. Because then you got people over here hating people that they shouldn't.
Yeah, you don't know how somebody else is going to take the words that you...
That's all I was saying. You do not know how somebody else perceives what you say.
Right. Yeah.
That's all.
Now, I'm with you on that. I am. I think I was just frustrated by some of the stuff around it. Yeah. It was hard for me to even, like, stay on Kyrie.
Yeah.
Seeing and hearing some of this other stuff.
I refused to listen. I ain't even watched or heard any of it because when I saw that LeBron, CJ McCollum says, I ain't looked at none of that. I just was, because it doesn't matter.
Right.
Are y'all reaching out to this dude telling him? That's what you do. Don't get on the platform and do it. Talk to him.
You.
Like, be of help to him because clearly he might not be seeing it clear. Help him.
Yeah. Clearly he's not.
The world is not flat. So, yeah, I need you to see. Yeah, anyway. And we'll go on.
Oh, man. So, next one. I'm sorry. Sam Shields shares on a podcast that he wouldn't have played in the NFL if he knew then what he knows now. He's lost family and friends. He lost family and friends once football was over, and the effects of concussions and how they weigh on him now. I think that there are a lot of people who feel like this. And forget the people who play their careers all the way out and who feel like that now. But some of the people like Chris Borland and what is the linebacker from the 49ers? I cannot think of his name. I was just about to say it. Patrick Willis. Oh, those guys who retired early because of they started to kind of feel some of those effects.
Yeah.
You know, I remember a couple of years ago when we had, her name is like really escaping me right now. And I promise, don't charge it to my heart, charge it to my head. We had, she is at Georgia State. And we went up there and we did the interview with her. And we were talking, the Who's Really Right was about the NBA overtaking the NFL as the most popular league in America. And I told you that I felt like it would eventually happen because football is going to continue to change unless people are going to be putting their children in football because of some of these stories that we're hearing.
Right.
And I think that there's going to be a groundswell. And you know, it may not even happen in my lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But I think that eventually the changes that they're going to have to make to the game that's going to make it that much safer is going to make it less attractive.
It's already that way for a lot of like old school football players and football. I can't tell you sitting listening to, if that was me, I would like that kind of, you can't do that now. Like it's just not that league anymore. Like, so yeah, no, it broke my heart. I'm not going to lie. It also speaks to kind of why we even have Field to the Real project.
Right.
If we can help somebody, I mean, not that we want people not to play football, but if you can have some informed decisions about your life beyond it or outside of it, it could change your decision, right?
Right.
On how important it is for you to go and risk yourself and your limbs and your mind and all of the things that are, you know, repercussions of having concussions, and even his commentary on family friends, like, you know, he was like, I'm down to one person in my life when everybody was around, when I had it, even being able to help, like, give them what they, the tools they need in that transition from being a collegiate athlete to a professional athlete, and understanding how you develop healthy functioning relationships, because most of those aren't healthy and functional when they can leave you so easily, right? It's not real, essentially. Yeah. And so being able to help them to make those decisions about who's going to be in their lives and who's not, I feel like that's what the project is about, honestly.
Yeah.
Just giving them the tools they need to be able to go out and function, no matter whether that's through sport or not through sport.
Yeah,
but giving you what you need, but specifically just because Sam Shields' story is talking about a professional athlete, and this is the realization that they come to at some point, like, it wasn't worth it. Like, you know what I mean? Even if you got all this money and making all of these, you know, you still got all this paper years later, you still got the bag, but is the bag worth the fact that I can't sleep at night, or that I don't remember half of what's happened? Like, is it worth it?
Right.
I don't know. I'm not saying one way or the other, because I'm a football fan, and that's not, that sounds selfish, I know it, but they make a decision to go out there. So I'm not making decisions for people to go play. I just happen to be a fan of the game. But for me, it's the other side of it too, because as a mental health professional, I absolutely want to be able to see people be happy, whole, and functioning well.
Right. Yeah.
Even a situation like this, where things are not the way you probably thought they would be when you were done, had you had a us, at some point in this situation, you might not feel this way. You'd be on about doing whatever, you know what I mean? So
that's real. I you know, I think about that often. Would I take it back, or would I and even with the fact that, you know, I walk with a little bit of a limp, you know, and I'm always trying to get my knee together. Some of the relationships I've made, some of the lessons I've learned, and the fact that I was able to get a free education, I don't know if I would change that, you know.
There are benefits. I ain't saying it's not.
It's definitely, definitely is, but it's also like, you know, when you think about quality of life and you start to get up there, you know.
Yeah.
Did the cost outweigh the benefits?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. No, that's, I just thought that was really interesting. It's sad.
Yeah, definitely.
Honestly, the story, the idea of somebody being where he was, the pinnacle of where he was, and now this is how you feel. It's just bad. It's just sad.
Yeah.
It's sad.
Yeah. Shout out to him. Prayers up.
Prayers up for sure.
So the Boston Bruins signed Michelle Miller, but the commissioner puts them in check, says that because he went to a juvenile detention center in middle school for racially harassing and bullying a special needs classmate, he may never play in the NHL. upon hearing this, I was like, middle school?
Middle school, Jared.
So does that mean we don't allow for someone to learn their lesson? We don't have grace, you know?
This is a pubescent child.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that they don't grow up to be racist and mean and ugly, because it's possible.
Yeah.
But it's also possible that they learned, grew up, figured out some things, have a different perspective. Mm-hmm. And this is coming from somebody who, this kid he was probably bullying was black.
Yeah.
And this comes from somebody, a black person saying, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm going to punish somebody 10 years later.
Yeah.
For something they did as a pubescent child.
Yeah, I'm not cool with that.
We all thought I thought it was funny when people fell and hurt themselves when I was that age. Some grown people still feel that way, but I'm just saying, like, you know,
not hurt themselves, but when people fall, I can't say that I won't laugh.
See, but back then it was it didn't matter. If they fell, right, they could have broke their leg and you'd be laughing because it was just funny. You you didn't know the difference. You didn't know to have compassion when you see, yeah, they fell, but oh, they broke their leg. So let me not laugh at that. Right? You don't have, their brains are not formed.
Yeah.
This is why, okay, so I keep talking mental health, but this is why we don't diagnose kids, even high schoolers, with mental illnesses, certain mental illnesses, because their brains are still formed.
Right.
So a middle schooler's brain is like mush.
Yeah.
So, and I know most people will be like, but you should be pro this because this is the NHL. And I guess they're trying to, this is a way to, if I guess in their mind, to keep people who are not, I don't know. Mm-hmm. It just seems a little extreme to me.
Yeah.
It seems a little extreme to me. Yeah. Middle school?
That's a bit much.
Wee bit. Now, if he gets in the league, now you can be monitoring him, monitor his social media, and monitor his right, interactions. If you see anything, any little red flag, then of course, okay, he got to go.
Yeah.
Put it in his contract that this is a part of what's that you are. This is a contingency point in your contract. Like, if this happens, you gotta go. And that's okay, but to just throw us, I mean, we know what that feels like because it happens all the time. Kids right, get labeled, and then it's, that's their life. For the rest of their life, that's right, what they be, instead of who they are. And so, it's a little much for me, personally.
Yeah, it is. And I was like, I'm hoping that, you know, they reconsider.
You know, this guy's been trying, like, he got originally drafted 3 years ago.
Okay.
And they told him no then. And so now the Bruins get in trouble for trying to come back and get him again.
Wow. Yeah, have some grace, guys. Have some grace.
Just saying, because if anybody was able to go back into our middle school days, you just didn't end up in juvie probably, but. Right. Yeah, some of the stuff.
I got arrested. I just didn't end up in juvie.
Well, I've never been in juvie, never none of that when I was in middle school or high school. But I'm just saying, if it's not because I didn't do things that might have warranted it.
Right.
So, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
Y'all, yeah. Okay. If this is a pro black thing, then this is too far.
Yeah, nah, we not supporting that.
No, it's too far. Too far. Too far.
Real roll call.
Real roll call. Right.
So, because we
we're going to time ourselves.
We got started recording. Okay. We're going to use our time of the day. And I think for this first one, we probably won't even need the entire minute. But we're going to use it.
Okay.
Steve Nash he's been fired.
Yeah.
Talking about some amicably parted ways. He's been fired in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
So he's out in Brooklyn. Who do you think is going to be the next coach? I know the name that's been swirling around, but who do you think?
And that's the name I hope it is. Because I want him to have another shot somewhere, because I don't know what you were thinking about. Anyway, Ume Udoka, I hope that he does get this shot. I do.
All right, so I'm going to quickly, I don't think it'll be him. And I think that they are going to hang whoever wanted this to come out the way that it did, they were intentionally trying to ruin his career. And the fact
Steve
that
Nash's career?
No.
Oh, Ume Udoka.
Intentionally trying to ruin his career because they let it leak.
Yeah.
They withheld the woman's name.
Yeah.
And instead of firing him, they put him on leave.
Right.
So they don't want him to work again, or at least not anytime soon. So I don't think it'll be Ime Udoka. And honestly, I'm not all that familiar with the young coaches to know who might be in the wings.
I mean, there's some assistant coaches that might be You know what I mean? Like people who have been head coaches that can come back out and do this.
Yeah.
I ain't got to be young. I don't think it need to be anybody young. I think it need to be somebody that these dudes will respect because you got all of these, you got a team full of hotheads and superstars and opinionated people who clearly think this is all this they seen. Yeah. So you got to have somebody who's strong enough to come in. They might need to find a female. I ain't even being funny. That can come in and just wreck shop. I don't care about what none of y'all got. That would be me.
Yeah.
I don't really care about what none of y'all got to say. Mm-hmm. About nothing. We about to get this team together.
Well, I mean, there's certainly some female coaches out there who I feel like will garner the respect of, you know, those NBA players. I think it has to be the right coach, though. You know,
they need the right coach. That's why I say I hope it would be him, because we know what he's been able to do with what he had.
Yeah.
In Boston. I know we got to go. All right.
Yeah, let's go to the next one.
Okay.
Should the NFL trade deadline be pushed to week 10 or week 12, like some teams have requested? And go.
I feel like because you added an extra like week to the season, that week 10 probably would be a good spot.
I think it shouldn't go past week 8 or 9. I think it has to be the midpoint of the season. This past year has been, I mean, this season has been more, we've seen more trades this season than
it was historic.
Years.
Yeah, it was historic for the NFL this year. Yeah.
And so, I mean, this is an anomaly. I don't think we changed the rules because of, you know, an outlier season.
Well, so if they have more than one of these,
mm-hmm.
so say next year, and the next year, then you need to start really having these conversations because, this was, I mean, and it was a frenzy. It was crazy. It was, I don't even know. I know it was, it felt like why can't I think of the word? The draft. Draft, like the intensity.
Oh, yeah, there was a whole bunch
in
of
the camp. Negotiations and all that kind of stuff. So, I feel like they do need to get them a little more spread out a little more if they're going to go, if it's going to continue like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Next topic. Coach Prime tells his team that he isn't entertaining any other programs. And go. How do you feel about that?
I love the loyalty. I think he made a decision. And honestly, it's him. It's Coach Prime because I feel like this. If it was another team that wanted him, that was Power Five or, you know, a big D1 team that wanted him, before he got to Jackson State, he might be thinking that way. But since none of y'all
were
really coming for him, he's staying where he at. And I don't blame him.
Well, you know, before he got to Jackson State, he wanted the Florida State head coaching job. And
they wouldn't even. Exactly. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So at this point, he's like, whatever, y'all got it.
No foresight at all. I think that he needed to do this just because the media had been hounding him about taking a Power Five job. And he had made the comments that I would be a fool not to entertain it because of my staff. So he needed to do it, and I'm glad he did.
Yeah.
I really don't want him to leave.
No, I don't either.
All right.
If he can get to be like over the sweat, the whole thing, that kind of thing. But I don't want to leave HBCUs. Yeah.
All right. The Falcons are in first place in the NFC South. Can they keep it up? And go.
Listen, we have taken over from your conference here. Y'all was the NFC least. We the NFC sour.
I like that.
And so it's a toss up every week with this. It has been for years that it just back and forth. Nobody's ever dominated this league, this conference ever.
Right.
This division. Sorry, nobody's ever dominated this division. So it's a toss up from week to week because everybody sucks.
Yeah.
Sorry. Just
is what it is. I think that they're going to take it. And I understand that right now they're in the midst of a dogfight with the Chargers. But just in looking at them, they're the best looking team in the division.
That's sad to say.
It is.
That's my team, and I'm sad. It's sad. Yeah. Although I will say Arthur Smith has been doing a better job of utilizing the talent that he does have.
I wholeheartedly agree with that.
He has. He's been doing a better job. And Cordell back.
Yeah.
That'll help.
That, he was needed. That dude is the...
He the dude. I don't know. Like, he the
Swiss
dude.
Swiss Army knife.
Right. He like Tyson Hill. Yeah.
All right. Last one.
Yep.
So we talked a little bit about this last week. Mm-hmm. Daniel Snyder is looking into options of possibly selling the Washington Commanders.
Mm-hmm.
And we just heard, well, you just heard and you told me that Kevin Durant is interested. How do we feel about that? And go.
Dope. I'm going to let you have all of
this. Oh, man. Listen.
Let you have all this.
Listen, I'm going to speak this into existence. Tuesday, I'm going to go play the Powerball. I'm going to win that $1 billion, and then I'm going to get in contact with Kevin Durant and be a part of this ownership group that goes and potentially buys the Commanders. That is my plan. That's what I want to do from my mouth to God's ears.
My plan, and I'm sticking to it.
I'm sticking to it.
Oh, gosh. I'm here for it. I hope it does happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would really love to see, like, one, we need a black owner. It's just time. But two, somebody like Kevin Durant, who's from the area, you know.
The area.
The area. You got to say it like that.
Uh-huh. That's right. The area.
I would love to see somebody like him. And I know Daniel Snyder's from the area too, but I'd love to see somebody like Kevin Durant on the team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm here for it.
Yeah.
I just needed you to have that whole minute because that's your team,
my city.
Your city, your everything. So you got it.
On to the real. All right, now, this on to the real was kind of one of those surprise on to the real because I had not heard about this guy since he kind of fizzled out of the league in the late 2000s.
Yep.
One of the coldest nicknames that I had heard for a football player when I was in college was Cadillac. Yeah. And so Auburn had a running back. They had two running backs, actually. And one of their running backs was Cardale Cadillac Williams. And when he got drafted, I believe he got drafted to the Tampa Bay Bucks. And he did really good for a while. Yeah. He went to the Bucks, and I think the other running back that was on the team with him went to the Dolphins.
Okay. So they both went to Florida teams.
Huh? Right. They both went to Florida teams. That was a coincidence. But you know, I thought he was gonna have one of those Barry Sanders type careers, you know, but I think because of injuries he kind of fizzled out, and you know, he didn't have the career I'm sure that he wanted to have.
Correct.
But I was looking at the clips of the highlights last night, and I saw that Auburn, well, I say last night, but it was earlier this morning, like 1-2 o'clock. Auburn fired their coach, and their interim head coach is Cardale Cadillac Williams.
Gotta love it.
I you know, it's one of those things where you don't go search for it, but I kind of thought to myself, like, what happened to him? Where did he go? Like, what did he do after football? And so for him to go back to his alma mater and had the opportunity to coach.
Yeah, that's dope.
I think that's amazing.
That's dope. How many people get that opportunity?
Not many. That's one of those things where I like, you know, I know that Coach Flea is at Jackson State right now, and I want him to stay there.
Right.
If he ever had the opportunity to go back to Howard, I would love him to go back to Howard, because when he went back, he actually did have the opportunity some years back. He went back to Howard, and he got the team moving. And I think it takes those type of guys who understand the culture of the program, know what the program needs.
Right.
To kind of what is a little bit of life. Huh?
Yeah, because you know what it is. You you got a personal,
Right, you got the personal connection to the program. So
yeah.
Shout out to Cadillac Williams. I think it's amazing that he was able to go back to his alma mater and
coach. Absolutely.
And I wish him much success. I hope that he gets to keep the job and they remove that interim tag. Because I would hope that he'd be able to, you know, navigate his alma mater and do some of the things they need to do in order to get back to prominence.
Yeah. And there's somebody, I think the shock for me is this is somebody, like, how would we have ever known that was something that he even wanted?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I think it's so many stories that need to be told.
Mm-hmm.
About these players and what happens to them when they seemingly disappear from, right. You know what I mean? Like, some of them, I mean, I know we just talked about Sam Shields and how sad his story is, but there are some of them who go and they blossom.
Right.
And so their stories, that's why I love our Own to the Real, but like stories like this is what it's about.
Yeah.
So I love this for him.
Me too. I
love this for him. Who knew?
Right. Who knew? You know, had I not been paying, I don't even know how I would have known had I not just been looking at that highlight.
That's really cool. Okay.
Feel good final thought?
Yeah.
As much as I did not want the organization, the Houston Astros organization, to win another World Series.
Yeah.
Right. And I don't think that they should be punished, you know, in perpetuity, obviously.
Right. Because they just feel like everybody ain't a cheater.
Yeah.
Right.
I just feel like it's been not enough time has passed from their cheating scandal for them to just be winning the World Series.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
One of the things that made me okay with this is that Dusty Baker finally got a World Series as the Astros manager.
Yeah,
Dusty Baker has been everywhere. He is. I know.
For I got him right here. I got him.
You got him. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
San Francisco from '93 to 2002. The Cubs. That's when I remember. Like 2003 to 2006. The Reds from 2008 to 2013. The Nationals from 2016 to 2017. And now the Astros from 2020 to now. So he has paid his dues.
Yeah. And so I was so excited when I saw the picture of it when they won, and just the joy on his face, and it was good to see, you know.
Yeah.
I'm so sure glad that he was able to get that elusive World Series. He's been doing it for over 30 years now.
Yeah, and he played for 19. So this man has spent his entire life in baseball. I'm very excited. That was literally, you know, once the Braves got put out, I didn't care anymore at that point, right? Yeah. Who won? But I definitely, this was the reason why I felt joy for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I grew up a Yankees fan, you know. And sorry. So, well, no, growing up a Yankees fan was tremendous.
Oh, like, yeah, they were all right.
World Series titles all over the place, but.
Right.
So once the Nationals came to DC, I kind of had to route my loyalty to they were a National League team and the Yankees are an AL team, I still could kind of root for both.
Yeah.
But I still kind of silently root for the Yankees, even though I'm a Nationals fan. And I just hated to see them lose to the Astros.
Well, again, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the Braves had theirs last year. Braves got them a World
Series. They got their ring. Absolutely. I'm good. Like, yeah. But the disappointment was y'all had such a great year. I just assumed you were gone.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
But it's okay.
Yeah. And the Nationals won one a few years ago, too. So.
Yeah.
I can't be too upset.
We're not upset.
Yankees, come on, Yankees. Like, spend some money. Y'all going to have to pay Aaron Judge. Pay that man.
And if you don't, shame on you.
Yeah.
That's really what that boils down to. Shame on you if you don't. Because I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. All right, show picks. What you watching?
Crazy. I haven't really been watching much lately. It's been a rough week.
Yeah.
Been a rough week. Only thing I really like, the shows I already watched, The Rookies, Feds, Cleaning Lady, stuff like that, like Abbott's Elementary. Like, I'm gonna catch up on my shows that I normally would watch. But I haven't, like, watched anything new. I haven't really, if a Christmas movie here or two, because, every channel got Christmas movies on now.
Yeah.
But I haven't really been watching. I saw the interview, and I think I already, because I went back and rewatched some parts of the interview with Tamron Hall on The Pit. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That was, because she's just such a, inspiration as a dynamic. And being that we're probably closer in age, I really admire her. Like, just her, she's still to me kind of a new mom. Her baby might be 2 or 3, what I mean? And she just, but outside of that, I haven't really been, and football.
Well, obviously, that's a given.
I watched one basketball game, but mostly I've been watching football because it's on every night now.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean,
it's on every night. Like, yeah, what am I supposed to do?
They play on Tuesdays and Wednesdays.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you really have football Monday through Sunday.
All week.
Monday through Sunday.
Yeah. All week long. So, yeah.
I've been kind of in that same place. I haven't really been watching. Mm-hmm. I haven't really seen anything new. But one of the things that I did watch randomly early this morning, I didn't get to feel the effects of that extra hour of sleep. Thank you, Drewby.
Don't be talking about my nephew. Whatever. Get up, daddy.
So I had him up watching Short Circuit.
Movie, I love that. Number 5.
Johnny number 5. Yes.
I love that movie.
And so now,
five alive.
Yes,
sorry.
No. I look. I remember. I was like, man, I loved that movie growing up.
Yeah.
So I got to watch it, the first one. Now I got to see number 2. I got to find out what number 2 is.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I love that movie. Stephanie. That's what I remember. I thought that was so cute, Stephanie. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay. Yes, Short Circuit. I'm here for it.
Well, sis, we are at the end of another one.
Yes.
Episode 183 in the books.
Yes.
Now, I asked you guys, and every week we ask you guys if you would like to be on the show, you want to give some feedback, definitely reach out to us. And so we had one person to reach out to us.
Okay.
2 weeks ago.
Okay.
Asked to be on the show. And I apologize that I just got back to you, but I responded. I sent you a message, and I appreciate you for leaning in the way that you did because, we ask that every week and we look and we don't see anything. So,
right.
But if you want to get in contact with us, whether that be to give us some feedback, good or bad,
if you want to
show, definitely
respectfully
talk to us, huh?
Respectfully,
yeah, always respectfully. There are a few ways that you can reach out to us. You can hit us in our email. That's field2therealpodcast@gmail.com. field2therealpodcast@gmail.com. You can hit us up on our socials. Our Twitter page is @field2therealp1. Our IG page is @field2therealpodcast. And if you want to hit us up on our Facebook, our YouTube, and our, what is it called? Our TikTok. You look right there. Stephanie disappeared. But if you look right there, you'll see Field to the Real Podcast. No number 2. T.O. She's back.
Y'all are fired if you can't tell.
Search that and you can get to us. You can see some of our videos on our Facebook page, but please go to our YouTube page, subscribe to our channel, click that notification bell so that you get all of our up-to-date videos. Like, share, subscribe, comment, all of that good jazz, so you can stay in touch with us. And you can, you know, let us know how our videos, you know, touch you. As always, we truly appreciate you guys. We thank you guys for continuing to rock with us every week. But we are out of here. Peace. There we go. There we go. Bring back the peace for Stephanie.
Y'all tell me to stay out of these dark clothes and then I can do it, okay?
All right, y'all. Now put the cameras on me, 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 put the cameras on me.